This morning, I have a sermon prepared about Joseph. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis. Am I on? Dude, you hadn't turned me on yet. There we go. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 37. We're going to talk about that for a little bit. And I only know how to be one way, okay? And so I'm just going to be the only way I know how to be. And that is, I grew up in a house where, you know, you didn't talk about the big, you know, pink elephant in the room or crimson element, you know, or crimson elephant, you just didn't talk about stuff. You know, it was a big pretending fit. You know, everybody just pretended everything was great. And so now in my house, we talk about everything, maybe too much. I don't know. But the big elephant in the room today is that it's 5 minutes till. And we're things get long, and I tell you, I get wordy when it comes to talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. And so what we're going to do this morning, because I know that there's a lot going on, I know that people have plans and we got to go here and there, and nobody's selling anything short, not at all. You're going to hear the word of God this morning, and then you're going to hear some more of it next week. But I want us to talk about just briefly, and I'm not going to hold you here until, tonight at all. So just listen up. And I think that's okay. It's okay for us to understand, you know what, we got this, and then we're going to have some fellowship. We're going to come back tonight and have some more, and we're going to small groups. We're all going to love on each other and all that. But we're going to talk about what it means to be a dream weaver. And then we're going to talk some more about it next week. So come back next week. In Genesis 37, the story of Joseph is about holding on to a dream. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks, is that, you know, in starting in Genesis 37, we get the story of Joseph. We talk about God starts talking about the most important family in the history of the world. And if you believe that the Word of God, the Bible is truly the Word of God, then you believe, like I do, that the story of Jacob and his children, they are the most important family, and the most important family comes through them that the world has ever seen. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to see that as the weeks bear out. But Joseph, starting in Genesis 37, Joseph is a man who is talked about more in Scripture than any other man except for Moses, David, and Jesus, if you count all the prophecies in the Gospels. But more Scripture is devoted to the life of Joseph than nearly anyone else. And I'm a big believer that when God takes his time, when God slows his roll enough to take his time to spend the gunpowder on this story, that there is something that we need to get out of it. It's like the different, you know, and you've heard me tell this story about, you know, in the story of David and Goliath, 58 verses in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. David kills one guy with a sling. Shamgar kills 300 guys with a stick and nobody's heard of him. God spends 58 verses on one killing. He spends 2 verses on 300. There's something we need to learn from David and Goliath. There's something we need to learn from the life of Joseph. And it's about holding on to a dream. And the reality that we're going to talk about is that God has a dream for each one of us. And He gives us this dream through Scripture. And He gives us this dream through personal revelation. He gives us this dream through promises. And He tells us, I'm going to take you somewhere and I'm going to do something with you if you'll depend on me, if you'll go where I say go. So we pick up the story of Joseph in chapter 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. He made a richly ornamented robe for him, and his brothers saw that his father loved him more than any of them. They hated him and could not speak a kind word to them. Here's the long and short of the story of Joseph. His brothers are working out in the fields. Joseph is given by Jacob this coat of many colors, as it's been called and sung about and all of those things. He gave him this richly ornamented robe. Now, the thing about this story is that God is constantly taking traditions and taking a culture and turning it around and throwing it out the window and all this. The fact is that Joseph is not supposed to be the leader of this family because he's not the oldest. You see, in that culture, the oldest son was the leader of the family. Now, I have an oldest son who tends to think that this is a good rule to have. But Joseph's not the oldest son. Moses was not the oldest son, but he was the leader. David was not the oldest son, but he was the leader. Joseph is not the oldest son, but Jacob is setting him up to be the leader. You see, when we read that he was given this ornamental coat, that's not only a symbol of his love, but that's a symbol of status for Joseph. Because in those days, just like today, what you wore said a lot about what you did. When we were working on the shepherd's house here in the last day when we were doing the roof, I showed up to work in what apparently was a nice shirt. And it was just a collared shirt, a polo collared shirt that I actually got it at Goodwill. And I've worn it for a couple of years and I have a big stain on it. And the stain's right here. And I thought, okay, well, that'd be a good shirt to wear. I've gotten $4 worth of goodie out of that shirt and I can wear it. And I showed up and, it looks like you can play golf. Look at you. And I was like, oh, no, just what, this old thing? But what if I showed up to work? If I showed up to work on the roof at Shepherd's House and I'm dressed like this, people would think, well, look who's the foreman. Are you the boss of this operation? Because the laborers don't wear this sort of thing, do they? That's what Jacob was saying. Joseph, you're not a laborer. You're not common like all these other brothers of yours. You're the boss. You go to work. You don't go to work to work. You go to work to supervise. And Jacob brought back a bad report of his brothers. And so, first of all, they see that his dad loves him, doesn't want him to do all the work. Now, anytime you have a group of people doing some laborious work, and you've got one person that's sort of standing off and not really doing that, that's a problem to start with. I get those calls all the time when Vic's at work, I'm going to work, whatever, and the kids are at home, and I say, hey, I want y'all to get this done. It's not long, maybe an hour into it, I start getting a text. Lance, do you get these texts? So-and-so are not doing anything. They're just standing around. They're just watching me work. Yeah. So that's a problem. Well, that's what Joseph, and then what would happen when they get back and Joseph's saying, you know what, they didn't really, this one was fooling around and this one didn't do anything and he was supposed to get those sheep and he didn't. And he gives them a bad report. Not only is Joseph not working, but he's tattletaling. His brothers hated him. And Joseph has this dream. And in those days, dreams meant something. You see, Joseph has a dream where we're all out collecting sheaves of grain and his sheaf stands up and his brother's sheaves bow down to him. And it doesn't take a genius to know what that dream means, that his brothers are going to serve him. And Joseph makes a calculated mistake here and he tells his brothers about the dream. They're like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? So they hated him even more. And then he tells of another dream that he had where the sun, moon, and the planets and the stars all bowed down to him. So basically what he's saying is not only are my brothers going to bow down to me, but my mother and my father, they're going to bow down to me too. And so Jacob's like, what? What are you talking about? But he didn't dismiss it. And then there comes another day where Jacob sends Joseph out to check on his brothers. And it says in verse 19, here comes that dreamer. You see, they knew that dreams meant something. In our culture, dreams don't mean a whole lot. I can have dreams all the time. And I wake up, I'm like, what in the world? What did I eat last night? But to them, dreams meant something. Dreams were how God communicated to them about what was going to be going on, what was going to happen in their life. And see, his brothers, they start hearing about this dream. And that I'm sure that they remember, because they've heard it 1,000 times about the time that Daddy Jacob was asleep at Bethel, and he gets a dream about this ladder up to heaven, and angels ascending and descending on it, and God telling him that you're going to be something, and God talking to him, and they'd heard that over and over. And so now, not only was Joseph Daddy's favorite because he got this coat and all this, but now he's, you know, obviously even more of that because he's experiencing the same thing. They have this dream unity together. Here comes that dreamer. They said to each other, let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of these cisterns and say a ferocious animal devoured him. So they're going to get rid of him. They're going to, you know, because they realize that Joseph's dream is their nightmare as far as they're concerned. So they decide, they make this plan. They say, well, let's not kill him, but now let's sell him. He is our brother after all. So let's not kill him, but let's sell him, and we'll take the proceeds and at least we'll get something out of it. So they do that. There comes a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, and their camels were loaded with spices, balm, myrrh, and they were on their way to Egypt. So they sold Joseph into slavery to these Ishmaelites. And what we learn from this story is that regardless of what God has planned for us, is that sometimes with family is the most dangerous place that we can be. And just speaking honestly here, some of us are dealing with that very thing. Some of us come from a family with a long line of hatred, and there's jealousy, and there's envy, and there's struggles. And the most dangerous place that we can be is among people with the same last name. But what these brothers didn't realize is that hating some people can hurt people that you don't hate. Because when they sold Joseph into slavery, they sent their father into grief that he would never get out of. I don't think they thought about that. Do we think about that when the relationships that we have and the way that we treat one another at times, that it's not just affecting that person, it's affecting other people that maybe we don't despise at the time. But you know what's summed up in the story of Joseph? And it's found in Genesis 50 and verse 20 when his brothers later on come before him. And what keeps Joseph throughout all of this, even though family issues and problems happen, and he's sold into slavery, and then he's put in prison, and all of these things, is that Joseph had this take on God that was far beyond what his brothers understood. And in verse 20 of chapter 50, Joseph says, "What you intended to harm me, but God intended for my good." You see, Joseph had this, you had a plan for me, but God had something else in store. And if you look in chapter 50 and verse 20, where it says that you intended to harm me, but God intended to bless me. The word intend there is it's a Hebrew word, ancient Hebrew word that literally means to weave. You see, God is the original dream weaver, and He can take whatever situation that we find ourselves in, whatever anyone else does to us, whatever anything happens, He can take that and He can weave it into the dream that He has for each one of us. You see, the Bible focuses so much on Joseph because Joseph focuses so much on God. Over and over and over, no matter what happens in Joseph's life, he's relying on God. He's talking about God. He's thinking about God. He's serving God. He's considering God. And see, we all have a take on God. We all have a way that we perceive and a way that we think that God is moving. And Joseph's take on God was never going to change no matter how much life takes. And life takes, doesn't it? See, life is hard. Life's unfair. And some people get bitter, but some people get better. And it depends on our take on God. It depends on, you know, do we think that God is doing all of these things for us, and when anything goes wrong, that God has left us and all of that, or do we think about all of our circumstances of life? And then we define who God is based on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Do we look at the job situation, the economy, our health, our relationships, all that, and think, well, you know, God has said this and God has promised that, and none of this is working out the way that I think it should. And so therefore we define God based on our circumstances. Or do we look at our God and we know who He is? And we know His intentions for us. And we know His purpose for us. And we know that God is God, and He is sovereign, and He loves us, and He wants us, and He cares for us, and He has big dreams and big plans and all that. And so our current circumstances must have something to do with the sovereign, powerful, almighty God. Do we take our circumstances and define God? Or do we hold on to our God and have Him and His will and His love for us define our circumstances? See, that's what that's that "but God" take. You know, this happened, but I know God's got a plan. My health is failing, but God is in control. My marriage is this, but I know God is sovereign. My relationships are here, but God is going to see me through this. Do we have that kind of a take on God, that no matter what comes, but God is more? See, what Joseph understood was that God had not left him, even though it looked like he had. See, Joseph, over and over and over in his life, he does the right thing even though he was done wrong. And I think that's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us to not lash out, to not take vengeance, to not exact revenge or stand up for our rights. Over and over and over, and we're going to look at the life of Joseph and the details and the episodes where he finds himself up and he finds himself down, but over and over and over, Joseph, even though he's done wrong, even though he has every right to hate, every right to question, every right to doubt, every right to turn, Joseph does what is right even when he has done wrong. Because he knew that God was weaving this dream, that God was operating a plan, sometimes on stage, sometimes behind the scenes. God was at work. He said, what you intend, what the world intends, what my family intends, what the devil intends, they intended it for, they were trying to weave it one way, but God. Can we have, like Joseph, a "but God" take on life? Can we have this, "I know this is happening, but God is still on the throne"? There are some of us this morning that need that. There are some of us this morning that are here that need to hear that, that regardless of the circumstances, God is God. And we don't know what's around the corner, but God does. And the adventure that He has in store, the plan that He is weaving, that He is operating, is much better than we could ever think or imagine. There's some that need to become a part of that plan, a part of that dream. that need to allow God to begin to weave His dream for your life. If that's you this morning, if you want to start that, you want to confess Christ and start a relationship with Him where He is, in fact, the weaver of your life and the dreamer of your dreams, then you can do that this morning. You can confess Him and be baptized. And then the story of Moses, the story of David, the story of Joseph, the story of Jesus can be your story. Whatever you need to hear God say to you this morning, we have a mechanism for that. Bob's going to come up. He's going to lead us in a closing song. And this is an opportunity where whatever's on your heart, if you need to have God touch your life, heal you in some way, to reach down and to remind you of your dream, you can come forward. We can pray about it. We can talk about it. If you don't want to do that in a public way, you can find me or one of the shepherds after church and we can talk about it, go into one of the rooms and pray over that. But whatever it is, understand that regardless of our circumstances, God is still on the throne. If you need anything, you can join me up front as together we stand and as we sing.